daily for not Monday. It isn't, but you know that, and it's a good thing. So we're moving on. We're getting closer to the weekend. That's a beautiful feeling. You know it is. Good morning, hello, and welcome to the Not Monday. In case I haven't mentioned, it's Not Monday. We're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. You might know us from Facebook and Twitter and all those weird, crazy places. The folks bringing it to you today, well, a man who's trying to make the dream come true. It's podcasting's Rich Siegfried.
I will be combining my two life's passions, Irish dancing and Chinese calligraphy.
Huh. I did not know that went together. Hi there.
Multicultural.
I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
I posted a video of myself online and 1,000 people have watched it. Therefore, I assume everyone knows my name and admires my work.
Damn right they do. What happened on this fine, fine day, sir?
It's incredibly accurate, and that's why you're wonderful. In 1214, the University of Oxford received its charter.
1940, Samuel F.B. Morse, F.B. to his friends, receives a patent for his telegraph symbols. You know it as the Morse code.
In 1877, Alexander Graham Bell installs the world's first commercial telephone service in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. In the first month, Bell will sell only six telephones, but by September, 778 telephones will be in use.
Damn. 1926, Herr Schatzel demonstrates a wireless phone for automobiles in Berlin, Germany.
1939, Ernst Heinkel tests the world's first aircraft to be propelled solely by a liquid-fueled rocket. The HE-176 experimental rocket airplane flies for the first time in Peenemünde, Germany.
I liked his dude ranch better. 1944, the U.S. Congress charters the Central Intelligence Agency.
And we love them. We think they're fantastic. They do a lot of good work overseas. Just in case you're listening, 1963, the Red Telephone, linking the heads of state to the Soviet Union and the United States, is established following the Cuban Missile Crisis. Commissioner Gordon isn't brought onto the line until 3 years later.
1990, the asteroid Eureka 5261, the first known Mars Trojan asteroid, is discovered at Mount Palomar Observatory in San Diego County, California.
1994, Apple Computer launches the eWorld online service for Mac users in imitation of AOL. The service features a bulletin board system, email, and news. The service initially costs just shy of $9 per month, plus an hourly rate of $7.90 during business hours and $4.95 for evenings and weekends.
Wow, that's a bargain. 1995, the extraterrestrial alien encounter attraction opens in Tomorrowland in the Magic Kingdom at Walt Disney World. It was an incredibly cool ride, which is why it closed in 2003.
And why I'd never heard of it before. In 1999, the TNT television network airs the made-for-television movie Pirates of Silicon Valley, directed by Martin Burke and starring Noah Wiley and Anthony Michael Hall.
2001, Ellen Spertus, age 32, wins the distinguished title of Sexiest Geek Alive 2001. In San Jose, California. She's a women's computer science professor at Mills College in Oakland. She has a doctorate from MIT, and as a prize, she wins a home computer and a trip for two from geekcruises.com. To accept awards, she wears a PVC corset decorated with a printed circuit board pattern and a black slit skirt and a slide rule holstered to her leg.
That's fantastic. And note the age on that. She was 32 when she won. So that's a pro. In 2000, or like versus a con, not that she was a professional award winner. In 2001, Universal Pictures released the action film Hulk, directed by Ang Lee and starred Eric Bana, Jennifer Connelly, and Nick Nolte.
2009, in New Mexico, ground is broken at the construction site of Spaceport America, the world's first purpose-built commercial spaceport. Before that, none of them had any purpose at all. Birthdays?
Christopher Mintz Plasse, 28 years old. Geez, he's finally 28. Super bad role models and kick-ass.
Josh Lucas is 46 from A Beautiful Mind, the aforementioned Hulk, and Stealth.
Nicole Kidman, 50 years old, dead calm to die for, Batman Forever and Moulin Rouge.
John Goodman is 65 from Raising Arizona, Roseanne, Barton Fink, The Big Lebowski.
Every time I watch the news nowadays, I just want to yell out of it. You're out of your element, Donnie. We've also got Tress McNeil, 66, an amazing voice actress, mom on Futurama, Chip and Gadget on Rescue Rangers, and Babs Bunny on Tiny Toons, amongst many, many others.
Candy Clark is 70 from American Graffiti, The Man Who Fell to Earth, Q, The Winged Serpent, and Amityville 3D. The last one theatrically until the remake.
The great John Mahoney, 77 years old, from In the Line of Fire, Iron Giant, and of course, the father on Frasier.
Danny Aiello is 84 from Godfather 2, Moonstruck, Hudson Hawk, the underrated film, and Do the Right Thing.
James Tolkien, 86. He was Principal Strickland in Back to the Future, not to mention also in Top Gun. In fact, he's the one who said that Maverick's mouth was writing checks his ass couldn't cash.
You know, somehow I bet it could. Olympia Dukakis is 86 for Moonstruck, Working Girl, Steel Magnolias, and Look Who's Talking.
Martin Landau, 89 years old, North by Northwest, Space 1999, the orphan entertainment favorites, the Harlem Globetrotters on Gilligan's Island, and my personal favorite movie of all time, Ed Wood.
Damn good movie. No longer with us, born this date in 1909, Errol Flynn, who everyone asks if that's where I got my name from, The Adventures of Robin Hood, and The Adventures of Don Juan, and other things.
1925, Audie Murphy receives every military combat award for valor available from the U.S. Army, as well as French and Belgian awards for heroism, then a 21-year acting career, including playing himself in To Hell and Back. Sir, we salute you.
They used to have a saying for people that would, like, you try to be really cool in the military. Hey, kid, who the hell do you think you are? Audie Murphy?
Well, his story should be on television, but I'm sure it isn't. But what is on CBS, we've got a rerun of NCIS, a rerun of Bull, and NCIS,
On ABC, it's a new Downward Dog, which I still like, but not for the right reasons.
On NBC, we've got a new America's Got Talent and World of Dance.
On Fox, it's a rerun of Lethal Weapon, The Mick, and Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
CW, we've got a new Izombie.
On Freeform, preparing for a confrontation with AD on the penultimate episode of Pretty Little Liars and the premiere of The Bold Type, if you're a font aficionado.
Apparently on TLC, they'll have Comic Sans. On AMC, we've got Fury. That's the tank movie with Brad Pitt, with Jim Jefferies' Weatherman.
Oh, see, I thought that was the David Hasselhoff Nick Fury story. Comedy Central is showing Tosh.0, followed by a new Jim Jefferies show, speaking of which.
There we go. On FX, we've got Transformers, Dark of the Moon.
FXX on The Simpsons, Homer in Canada, Homer's mom dies, Lisa battles fracking. Some lighthearted entertainment tonight.
On FXM, we've got Taken 3.
Is that one in 3D? MTV has computer bugs on Fear Factor.
I want to watch all Liam Neeson movies in 3D, including Mel. We've got on Spike, we've got a new Ink Master and Ink Master Redemption. This time it's personal.
Sundance, The Shawshank Redemption. You're damn right. Every man in America will be watching that tonight.
On Sci-Fi, we've got a new Face-Off.
TBS has two new episodes of Wrecked, the show that is a parody of Lost, on like 6 years after Lost ended.
It's got one of the guys from The Whitest Kid You Know, so I'm down. TNT's got a new Animal Kingdom.
Over on True TV, it's Dr. Hack to the Rescue, then Hacks at Work and Play on Hack My Life. But we're going to be watching the Chiller Network because greed and betrayal ensnares three people when they find a stash of diamonds aboard a train. Danny Glover, Steve Zahn, and Lily Sobieski all star in Night Train.
You got mail, baby.
Indeed we do. Damn you, PRS. On Friday's show, you mentioned how you don't like the taste of Coke. Let's just say that thinking about the taste of Coke and drinking lemonade do not mix at all. Are we responsible for what people are drinking when you talk?
I was merely referring to the drug cocaine. That's why I said I didn't like the way it tasted, but I love the way it smelled. It was a very subtle narcotic joke, but that's okay.
Pac-Man Fever. I had that album on vinyl back in the day. Such a glorious album. I still have a copy of it on my iPod. Go, Froggy, go. I had the cassette. Froggy moves one step at a time. The way that he moves has no reason to rhyme. Three, thank you for playing one of the best quotes of the entire Babylon 5 series when Veer tells Morden what he would like. It was also the setup for one of the best payoffs in the series. Classic. Why I used it, because that is a beautiful moment. This has been, as always, surreal. So if you'd like to share things with us, like what you drink that we ruin as we speak, by all means, drop a note to podcast@geekradiodaily.com. I mean, maybe you're eating things that we ruin. Either way, it sounds like a whole wonderful new culinary aspect to the show.
Let us know what you put in your mouth that we ruin.
We let things pile up in the DVR. We add them to our queues. We wait for the DVDs and Blu-rays. We time shift. The Time Shifters Podcast. Sci-fi, horror, fantasy, superheroes, comedy, action, film, television, maybe some not-so-current events. Find us on iTunes or at timeshifterspodcast.com.
Hi, this is Granny Mahar, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily.
Indeed you are. Welcome back to it. If it's not Monday.
Sir.
What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
No, but you do, and you still buy the damn things. What can you add to your collection on this fine, fine day, sir?
Well, in television, we've got Thunderbird 6 and Thunderbirds Are Go.
Workaholics, the complete series because it's over. It's done. It's off.
Incorporated season one.
Under the Dome, the complete series. Well, complete in all the episodes they aired, not the rest of the show they were going to make that they didn't get a chance to.
In the movie section, we've got Paul Naschy collection.
If you like low-budget Mexican werewolf movies, that's what you need right there. Stealing Charlie Chaplin, a documentary about the theft of his body, a thing that actually happened. I never knew that.
Me either. I had to look it up to see if it was like some cleverly titled thing. We've also got Altitude.
I don't like your Altitude. Lawnmower Man Collector's Edition on Blu-ray, and I think they'll even throw in, you know, Lawnmower Man 2 at no cost or pay you to take it.
There's at least one particular scene from Lawnmower Man I enjoy. We've also got Airplane, both movie collection on Blu-ray, so you'll be able to see every subtle joke in crystal clear detail.
Especially the ones that were recycled for the second movie. Everybody Loves Somebody is a film that I've never heard of either.
Trainspotting 2. God, I can't wait to see that. I want to find out if they have like an adult crawling across the ceiling this time.
They should. It's been long enough. And, you know, Wilson, apparently the volleyball gets his own movie. It's the entire castaway told from the volleyball's point of view. But if we're getting anything today, it's going to be the story of a lady bitter over the fact that she's got to miss a party to babysit her younger brother. So a scheming teen decides to scare her impressionable sibling with three gruesome tales of terror. Massacre on 34th Street with a homicidal Santa Claus. Baby killer with a tormented professor resorting to terrifying extremes to prevent the death of his daughter. And abstinence following a group of terrified college kids whose ranks are quickly thinning due to a flesh-eating, sexually transmitted disease. Cavi Akbar, Joe Bakken, Allison Benner all star in Night Terrors.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Taking a look at the world from a geeky point of view. So with all the big box office hits being comic book adaptations because Pirates of the Caribbean, you're not making money, it's probably a good idea to start investing in every comic company out there. And 20th Century Fox has announced a, quote, strategic investment in Boom Studios. We talk about Boom Studios. We'll talk about them probably tomorrow. They're a huge independent comics company that have had some very damned interesting things on there. They published Lumberjanes, The Woods, Klaus, Mouse Guard. They've got the WWE, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. They've got the Muppet Show comic book, as a matter of fact. Not the first time Boom and 20th Century Fox have worked together. They've got a number of things already in development, theoretically, but now Fox has been an incredibly supportive partner. Now Boom can greenlight more new series from comic book creators, deepen and distribute its relationship, basically more comic book movies. So every comic studio is going to need to get a Hollywood deal. And if so, that means we can count down to the moment we finally get the 3D R-rated extravaganza that will be Bitch Planet the Movie.
Hell yeah. Researchers have recorded up-close footage of a single DNA molecule replicating itself, and it's raising questions about how we assume the process played out. The real-time footage was revealed that this fundamental part of life incorporates an unexpected amount of randomness, and it could force a major rethink into how genetic replication occurs without mutations. It's a real paradigm shift and undermines a great deal of what's in the textbook, says one of the team, Stephen Kowalski from the University of California, Davis. Scientists have long assumed that the DNA polymerases, no relation to Jason Mraz, and the leading and lagging strands somehow coordinate with each other throughout the replication process so that one does not get ahead of the other during the unraveling process and cause mutations. But this new footage reveals that there's no coordination at play here at all. Somehow each strand acts independently of the other and still results in a perfect match each time. While bacteria DNA and human DNA are different, they both use the same replication process, so the footage can reveal a lot about what goes on in our own bodies. The question now is that if these two strands function independently, as this footage suggests, how does the unraveling double helix know how to keep things on track and minimize mutations by hitting the brakes or speeding up at the right time? Or, once an evil scientist, or, well, Sci-Fi Network gets a hold of this, they can make customized mutations for a profit. Once that happens, we at GRD recommend using Zytrate to help with the pain. It, of course, comes in a little glass vial.
A little glass vial?
A little glass vial. New from Geneco.
So days after Take-Two Interactive shut down a popular Grand Theft Auto V modding tool, another modding service got right into the crosshairs, and ForceHacks is out of the business. And not only did they get rid of them, but They made them give some money to charity. A statement from Force Hex: after discussions with Take-Two Interactive, effective immediately, we are ceasing all maintenance, development, and distribution of the Force Hex cheap menu service and are going to be donating to a charity. Force Hex is one of the more horrible ones that would let you just, you know, steal money from people and everything, and you had to pay a monthly subscription fee of
$15, little man. Put that shit in my hand. If that money doesn't show, then you owe me.
Two more mod menus have been shut down since then because of cease and desist orders. And while many people are happy about that, the Open 4, the one they got rid of before all this, has some fans upset. So the future of GTA mods feels shaky and uncertain right now, and players are expressing worry that their favorite tool will be next on the radar. After all, modding tools fuel everything from the ever-elusive Killian Mystery to the popular role-playing servers. So while taking down a mod menu like Force Hex is definitely a good thing overall, Take-Two and Rockstar have an uphill battle to fight if they want to gain back the community's trust, or all you bitches could just learn to play games and stop cheating in the first place, slackers. I didn't mean to get all mean on you like that.
Well, it's okay. Ink cartridges are a pain. Ink is one of the priciest liquids around by volume. Printers waste unknown amounts to keep print heads healthy. They quit working way before all the ink gets used up, and let's face it, milking a squid isn't as easy as you'd assume. The folks at HP had some really good news about their ink cartridges to share for a change. They've teamed up with Pittsburgh-based Thread, a company that turns empty pop bottles into new products to make their cartridges more eco-friendly. In the past, Thread has worked on a number of fashion products. They collaborated with Timberland. Is it Timberland or Timberland?
Well, it's got to be Timberland because Timberland would be the hit maker.
Okay, that makes sense. They collaborated with Timberland on a line of boots and have produced fabric for Kenneth Cole. HP's new ink cartridges will do more than just reduce the environmental impact of their inkjet printers. They'll also go a long way towards helping the company meet the new social responsibility goals. They announced this at this year's Power of Print event. HP will now work with Thread and its other partners in the First Mile Coalition to help out in Haiti. The coalition strives to reduce child labor, particularly in dangerous landfills, and get those children into schools. Apparently to then go work instead of doing homework. Yeah. Adults who take their place are provided job training and, more importantly, safety training and medical care. But how are they going to fit in the little holes? Yeah, we'll probably just eat them. The coalition is also giving local entrepreneurs a hand up by investing $150,000 in small and medium Haitian businesses. HP and ink cartridges doing good in this world? I simply do not know how to process this. But you know what? If I hit them up and ask them for help, they'll probably charge me for it.
I'm sure they would. They're nice like that. A very real job listing in the Scottish border sounds like the setup for a movie that would close out TV pages. A family is seeking a live-in nanny to take care of their two children with one caveat. Their house is haunted. We have lived in our home for nearly 10 years. We were told it was haunted when we bought it, but kept our minds open and decided to buy the house regardless, so said the ad. Five nannies have left the role in the last year, each citing supernatural incidents as the reason, including strange noises, broken glass, and furniture moving. The post concludes, "This has obviously been a period of great upheaval for our children. We haven't personally experienced any supernatural happenings, as they have only been reported only when we've been out of the house, but we're happy to pay above the asking rate and feel it's important to be as upfront as possible to find the right person." So it sounds like a mix between Mary Poppins and Amityville or The Conjuring. The family is offering a sixth salary of £50,000 gross per annum and 28 days holiday plus bank holidays. So if this is a real ad, enjoy your new spooky job. But this could be a viral marketing for a movie or possibly the oddest reality show ever.
Which nanny will live? Find out tonight on Haunted Scottish.
I don't care. Whatever. GRD is licensed to Creative Commons. Attribution, not commercial, non-derivative works, 93.0 license. You can check us out on Facebook and on Twitter. And stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com. Have you seen the cartoon yet? You should. Hashtag murder song. Hashtag murder song. Subscribe. It's the right thing to do. Please, tell us what's in your mouth by dropping a note to podcast at geekradiodaily.com. You thought I'd forgotten about it, didn't you? Have a good one. We will see you when we manage to.
That was great! A lot of fun. When do I get my check?
Creeps like you should be in a cage.
Well, that went well.
Good night, suckers!
Listen, ladies, it's been real and it's been fun.
But has it been real fun? Mm-hmm. Nope.
Mr. Ugosi, I know you're very busy, but can I have your autograph?
Certainly.
You know which movie of yours I love, Mr. Lugosi? The Invisible Ray. You were great as Karloff's sidekick.
Karloff?
sidekick?
F*** you! Karloff does not deserve to smell my shit! That limey cocksucker can rot in hell for all I care!
What happened?
How dare that asshole bring up Karloff? You think it takes talent to play Frankenstein? It's all on makeup and then grunting.
Bella, I agree 100%. Now, Dracula, that's a role that requires talent.
Of course. Dracula requires presence. It's all in the eyes and the voice and the head.
That's right. That's right. You seem a little agitated. You want to go outside and get some air?
Bullshit. I'm ready now. Roll the camera.